What other nation in the world is like ours? One full of immigrants, built by immigrants. A melting pot, excuse the political incorrectness there, of dreamers from every corner of the earth, with one thing in common, the pursuit of a dream. For as long as America has existed, she's promised the rest of the world the freedom to make anything of yourself and your life, just with some hard work and some grit. That American dream has produced some of our greatest heroes, entrepreneurs, inventors, even some of our politicians, true rags-to-riches stories. But the left has just taken a giant step towards completely destroying the opportunity of that dream. The president, the man who should be preserving, defending life, liberty, and the pursuit of property, has announced his support to take all of that away.
The White House now says that it supports waiving the intellectual property protections for the COVID-19 vaccine.
He's going for vaccine patents now? What will the radicals standing behind him come for next? Well, they've already told us. It's coming. And tonight I'll show you what they have already put in the works to take even more control of your life, liberty, and property. Tonight, we'll own nothing and be happy. The Great American Reset of Property. Hello, America. Welcome to the program. Another Trojan horse from the left, and so many Americans bought it yet again. Joe Biden marketed as America's harmless unifier, our grandpa, who just wanted folks to get along. And then, surprise, he's a bigger radical than we have ever seen, bigger than Obama. And he spends his first 100 days in office doing all of the hardcore socialist things that the Sanders-Warren crowd wanted but could never accomplish. One of Biden's latest disturbing power grabs is the announcement that the U.S. will now seek a waiver to intellectual property protections for the COVID-19 vaccines. This is a massive blow to American innovation. Last October, India and South Africa petitioned the World Trade Organization not to enforce intellectual property rights. Instead, they said, we want them, and that includes patents and industrial designs. That's never been done. They say specifically for COVID-19-related vaccines and technology for the duration of the pandemic. Since then, 55 other countries have joined the request, and over 400 special interest groups signed a letter to the president urging him to suspend the IP protections. Their idea is that less developed nations might not have access to vaccines unless they're given the blueprints to make it for themselves. The Biden administration is caving to all of this international pressure instead of stepping up and protecting the property rights of American companies. Patents are essentially a property rights for idea. It's a patent is a protection. It guarantees the inventor 20 years of protection for their design, and that prevents anybody else from using and profiting from their work without permission. Patents are obviously vital to the medical technology field. They enable amazing breakthroughs lives every single day. This move by the Biden administration is a slap in the face to U.S. companies who developed the COVID-19 vaccines in record time. I totally understand people who choose to get the vaccine, as well as those who choose not to. But no matter what you think about the vaccine, its development is a miracle. It is amazing, and it didn't just happen overnight. The messenger RNA technology, that is in the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines, it was developed by two scientists at the University of Pennsylvania. One is Hungarian, it's a woman, Caitlin Carrico. She was working on mRNA to fight disease since the 1990s. But that back then, nobody believed her. Nobody thought it could be done. She couldn't get any government grants and no corporate funding for her research. So she and her collaborator, Drew Weissman, finally had a breakthrough with the mRNA technology. That was in 2005, but barely anybody even noticed. Two scientists, one based in the U.S. and one in Germany, gradually became intrigued by their work. Those scientists eventually helped found Moderna, based in Boston, and BioNTech, based in Germany. Now, these two companies licensed the technology invented by those two scientists that couldn't get anybody to listen to them. BioNTech eventually partnered with Pfizer to develop their COVID-19 vaccine, and Moderna developed a separate vaccine. But both are based on that technology, mRNA technology. The COVID-19 vaccines were developed so quickly last year only because Moderna and BioNTech had already laid the groundwork for creating mRNA treatments. But they've been working on that for over 10 years, and before that, back into the 90s with the two scientists. According to a Tufts Center study on drug development, it costs the average of $2.6 billion to develop a new prescription medicine with marketing approval. Now, here's the best part. The success rate in clinical trials is 12%. You're spending billions and only 12% of them work? How do you think pharmaceutical companies can possibly fund that kind of research and development? And then all the advertising and everything else. Once it works, they can make money. It's certainly not going to happen if you're giving away your intellectual property for free once it works. Now, you might remember America's severe vaccine shortage. It was in the early 2000s. This was the direct result of Hillary Clinton's same idea in 1993, vaccines for children, in which the government purchased one-third of the national vaccine supply at a forced discount of half price. Well, by 2003, the government was buying 55% of the childhood vaccine market, still at forced discount prices. Well, if you're going to give 55% of it away, what's my financial incentive to develop and produce vaccines? Thus, the shortage. By the way, the idea that IP rights might be holding back the world from getting these vaccines is just not true. The former director of the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office says, quote, almost every factory on the planet that can make these vaccines is already doing so. Manufacturing plants in India will produce 3.6 billion doses of vaccine just this year. Second only to the United States. So in short, there's robust collaboration and cooperation within the pharmaceutical industry to ensure that vaccines are made quickly and safely. 2 weeks ago, Pfizer announced their new goal of delivering 3 billion doses this year, up from 1.2 billion estimate last summer. And Moderna increased its goal from between 800 million and a billion, up from the previous aim of 600 million. Intellectual property is not a barrier to getting these vaccines. So why is our government pushing for this? Why the push to suspend patents like some third world dictator? At least for India and South Africa, it's money. They are both large producers of generic drugs, and they want free access to the COVID-19 vaccine IP so they can cash in. This is nothing more than redistribution of wealth. Another little problem with Biden's effort to give away intellectual property is that if he goes through with it, he'll be handing over revolutionary medical technology to some of America's biggest enemies, China and Russia. They have been trying to convince the world that their own vaccines are super, super awesome. But most of the world seems to know better. Health officials in Brazil found the Chinese vaccine to be just about 50% effective. Last month, China's top disease control official must have had a death wish because he actually admitted Chinese vaccines have low effectiveness and that, quote, mixing them is among the strategies being considered to boost their effectiveness, end quote. Another vaccine expert in China says China's COVID vaccine is the most unsafe vaccine in the world. It has 73 listed side effects, including loss of vision. Chinese authorities quickly deleted his social media account. Gee, Russia can't do it. China can't do it. Why? Oh, maybe for a very long time, they didn't have property rights. They lost the incentive, they lost the drive, and they lost the knowledge. Last December, while the Chinese government was boasting about their vaccine development, the Shanghai Fosun Pharmaceutical Group bought 100 million doses of Pfizer vaccine. Speculation is that those doses were specifically set aside for Chinese officials and their families. Naturally, China fully supports the U.S. waiving IP protections. After all, it would save the Chinese a lot of hassle. You know, they got to send spies over here. Fang Fang's got to sleep with some politician. I mean, it's ugly. That's what they have to do to steal American IP, you know. In 2019, a CNBC survey of CFOs in the U.S. found 21% had IP from their company stolen by China in the last year. Why would we be giving them stuff for free? The U.S. economy loses an estimated $600 billion annually to IP theft by China. That's headed towards $1 trillion a year. Last August, the head of the National Security Division at the Department of Justice said that since 2014, responsibility for stealing American IP has shifted from cyber operations conducted by the People's Liberation Army to insider-focused operations conducted by China's Ministry of State Security, which is the Chinese version of the CIA. Of course, this means China has also been trying to steal IP for the COVID-19 vaccines, along with Russia, along with Iran, along with North Korea. Gee, what do all of those countries have in common? Marxism and socialism. But sure, let's give them all of our patents to COVID-19 vaccines. What could possibly go wrong? Well, giving away intellectual property of American companies to our enemies, no less, is insanely irresponsible. Yet our president and his fellow Democrats are leading the charge. They seem to determine to punish economic productivity in the U.S. Even if this waiver effort fails, Biden and the Democrats are sending a very clear signal about their disdain for free market capitalism and private property. This is a tyrannical move that completely undermines the whole idea of incentives for future inventions. Why work on something as if all of a sudden you do it after 10 years of blood, sweat, and tears, and the government swoops in to take it? Who's going to do that? Who's going to bother inventing anything? This is destructive socialism in action. After the break, I want to show you just how far the anti-American effort to take our property, how far it's really come.
By the way, Senator, I should tell you that just crossing the tape right now, the U.S. will support a proposal to waive intellectual property protections for COVID-19 vaccines.
Yes! So- Fantastic.
I mean, think of that. Here's a leading Democrat ecstatic over the federal government dictating to a company that it has to forfeit its intellectual property. After the Biden administration announced that it will seek to suspend the patent rights of the American companies making COVID-19 vaccines, the stock prices of those companies plunged. Why? Well, they can't make any money. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez gloated on Twitter with a graph showing the falling stock prices. Here's what she said. Quote, let's do insulin next. Wait, you're cheering on the falling stock prices of companies who, I mean, regardless of whether you like them or not, regardless of how you feel about the companies, really, you're just going to give up on those companies? You're cheering for them to be destroyed. Removing a dangerous precedent, removing these protections sets a dangerous precedent. It trashes the larger American principle of private property. You know that intellectual rights, the property rights, is in the Constitution. It's in the Constitution, the very beginning of the United States. They put it there. Article 1, Section 8 of the Constitution. It set up the nation's system to, and I quote, promote the progress of science and useful arts by securing for limited times to authors and inventors exclusive right to their respective writings and discoveries. Quote. Why? Well, the founders were committed to defending individual liberties, and that included protecting intellectual property rights because they understood how humans work. See, this is the problem with socialism every time. It goes bad because they don't understand human nature. But our founders understood the value of allowing inventors to profit from their creations, and that would help start new businesses and ultimately benefit the entire nation. Their foresight in establishing patent rights created an astounding legacy of American innovation. I mean, if you look at it, you have Cyrus McCormick's Mechanical Reaper, the Telegraph from Morse. You have Goodyear's rubber, Henry Bessemer's steel process, air brakes, the telephone, the Polaroid camera, all of these things. And at any time, you could have said, "We can't last without rubber. We all need rubber products. We can't live without a telephone." And yet, somehow or another, they never seized those patents. Why? Because that's the way our system works. In 2018, the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office issued patent number 10 million. The American system has facilitated a mind-blowing amount of invention and prosperity in just under 250 years. And clearly, none of it would have happened without an inventor's right to profit from the work. Innovation drives productivity, and productivity helps drive economic growth. That's how it works. It's that simple. Now try to tell that to a socialist, any of these socialists that are running our country now. Paying people not to work is the opposite of encouraging innovation. Every bit as important as intellectual property rights in American history and life has been private property ownership, mainly land. They're going to do something with land? The founders viewed private property as the foundation of a free society. John Adams said, quote, property must be secured or liberty cannot exist. The moment the idea is admitted into society that property is not as sacred as the laws of God and that there is not a force of law and public justice to protect it, anarchy and tyranny commence. The Fifth Amendment in the Bill of Rights says no person shall be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. So protecting property rights is not only in our DNA, it's in the Constitution. Do we care about that anymore? America's concept of private property was revolutionary compared to most of the world. That's why we succeeded. When the United States began, Europe still primarily operated under the old feudal system, where elites owned most of the land. Regular people had almost zero hope of owning their own piece of property. But if you could get to America, there was at least a chance you could acquire some land and build a future for yourself. That hope, built on the prospect of owning property, being able to have an idea and keep the benefit from it. Expansion of invention and expansion of the entire American dream. It's what built us. Owning property sets America apart. It made it thrive, and it enabled a stable government. In 1835, Alex de Tocqueville wrote this, and I want to quote, "Why, in a quintessentially democratic country like America, does one hear no complaints about property in general, such as though that often resound through Europe? Needless to say, it is because there are no proletarians in America. Since everyone has property of his own to defend, everyone recognizes property rights as a matter of principle." So, again, I ask, what the hell happened to us? How did we go from viewing private property as sacred, a natural right, to our president and members of the Democrats in Congress cheering the forfeit of intellectual property? Well, we can go back to my least favorite president over a century ago, progressivism. The progressives invented this idea of believe the science, although that's not the phrase that they really used. Their whole philosophy was that all problems, all of America's problems, all of human problems could be broken down in a scientific manner. You know, you have a problem with birth defects? Well, we just have to genetically engineer people. That's what led to the Holocaust. Then experts who understood the science way better than, you know, you, would be put in charge of making policy and running everything in the government. Did you notice that the government generally doesn't pass laws anymore? Congress doesn't do that. They pass a bill and then they say, you know what, let the federal agency work out all of the details on that. That's not constitutional. What that does is it puts all the expertise in the government, and the government becomes really expensive. So progressives pushed for the 16th Amendment, which established the federal income tax. And once that Pandora's box was cracked open, private property in America has never been the same. Progressives laid the track for greater and greater government control of American life. But then FDR stepped to the plate in New Deal. He took that policy to the next level. New Deal policy was all about making the government able to take over public welfare and controlling more of the economy, which included controlling more land than ever before. It was eminent domain, and it became the government's favorite tool. Throughout the 1930s, the New Deal overlords went on a land acquisition binge for all of their projects, like resettling farmers, huge irrigation projects, building national parks. During World War II, the U.S. Assistant Attorney General called the Federal Lands Division, quote, the biggest real estate office of any time or any place. It acquired 20 million acres of land to build airports, facilities for making war materials, and multiple other national defense installations. Okay, you might say, well, we needed to do that. Yeah, here we are a century after progressives shunned individual liberty and they've been chipping away at private property rights through the court system. Property ownership is now started fading as an essential part of the American dream. In fact, American property ownership is at the lowest point it has been in 30 years. More than 21% of American households now have zero or negative net worth. Americans owning nothing and therefore being owned by the federal government. It is a Marxist fever dream. This cultural shift in attitude about owning property contributes to the studies rollout every year now, showing socialism on the rise among younger generations of Americans. Free stuff. And COVID-19, that pandemic, is just fuel to this dumpster fire. The financial disruption caused by the government shutdown policies resulted in tens of millions of Americans unable to make their rent or their mortgage payments. Now, don't worry about it. The government swooped in, right? Of course, the unelected bureaucrats at the CDC were the ones that swooped in true progressive fashion. They issued a nationwide moratorium on evictions. Now, great news for those who lost their job due to the pandemic, right? You didn't lose your house. No rent or mortgage payments for several months.
but you're only delaying the misery and making things worse, because every payment missed is simply added to the end of the loan. So if you're a homeowner and you've missed 12 payments, let's say of $1,000, you now owe $12,000, and your 30-year mortgage becomes a 31-year mortgage. That's without interest. That interest takes it to a 32-year mortgage. Here's the best part. You have to pay all of that back before you can sell the house. Interest. Interest continues to accrue all through the forbearance period. You may not be making your monthly payments, but the interest you should have paid each month gets calculated and added to the total loan amount tacked on to the end. 31 becomes 32. Congratulations. If you rent, those monthly payments also accrue, and all of them have to be paid back at some point. So if you get kicked out of your apartment because forbearance is over soon, or you just want to move, you can't move until you pay back a year's worth of rent and interest. In the residential mortgage sector, roughly 25% of U.S. mortgages entered some level of forbearance between March 20 and February 2021. By comparison, the height of the 2008 financial crisis, forbearance never exceeded 10% of home mortgages. 25% are in some sort of default. Back when it was really bad in 2008, 10%. Now, here's where it gets good. It all comes together. Through various government-funded lending programs, plus the Federal Reserve Bank and the federal government, I mean, they're so great. They've taken up all the slack for you. They're now directly responsible for almost 70% of U.S. mortgages. They're the cosigner, including nearly 90% of new mortgages in low-income areas in the country since 2009. Wow! What happens when you're a cosigner? You get the debt, but you also get the asset. Untangling this mess is going to be a nightmare for renters and landlords and homeowners and lenders. This is going to be a mess. When the dust settles, don't be surprised if Uncle Sam suddenly owns a lot more property. Up next, I'll tell you about a lot more property. Their big expansion plans in the White House with President Biden. Next. All right, if you are one of the people that suffer every day from pain, I want you to listen, because there is hope. And it comes in the form of Relief Factor. Every single day, I see testimonials of people who have tried Relief Factor because they heard it on my radio show or television program, and they got their life back. I know it can happen. I know, because it happened to me a couple of years ago. I wouldn't be here with a smiley face. I would instead be trying desperately to not show you how much pain I was in. But today, I'm good. I don't have to worry about that. When I started taking Relief Factor, I got my life back. If you like the pain, don't take this. If getting through your day is something that you just don't think you can do anymore due to pain, please try Relief Factor. It's not a drug developed by doctors, and you get the 3-week quick start for only $19.95. Now, here's why it's 3 weeks. Because in 3 weeks, you're going to know whether it works or not. If you see no results in 3 weeks, stop taking it. Don't order it anymore. But 70% of the people who try it go on to order a 4th week, a 5th week, a 6th week. If you want a drug-free and natural way to have your pain go away and get your life back, go here, relieffactor.com, or call 800-583-84. In the Communist Manifesto, Marx and Engels listed 10 steps to achieve communist utopia. And I want to read them to you, see if any of these sound familiar. Free education for all children in public schools. Centralization of the means of communication and transport at the hands of the state. Centralization of credit in the hands of the state by means of a national bank with state capital and an exclusive monopoly. Abolition of all rights of inheritance, a heavy progressive or graduated income tax, And number one on their list, the abolition of property in land and application of all rents of land to public purposes. I mean, this is basically the presidential campaign platform of Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren, and that's who's really running this White House. Mark said, the theory of communists may be summed up in a single sentence. Abolition of private property. Marx argued that you had to get rid of private property because it's the main source of conflict between the proletariat and the working class. But Marx's class struggle has never been able to gain a foothold here in America, largely because so many people own their own property. Because anyone can invent something and apply for a patent. Anyone can have a new idea. You ever heard, invent a better mousetrap? That's what this is about. And because property has been valued and protected for most of our history, we have succeeded. So if the struggle can't gain traction here, how do the Marxists make their case for abolishing private property? Oh, global warming. There is now a growing movement to grant legal rights to trees, rivers, lakes, and mountains, among other things. If climate change is such an existential threat, well, you can't be trusted to own your own. You might let cows graze in the pasture or something, and we know how destructive cow farts really are. Well, thank goodness the Biden administration has a plan. Recently, President Biden released his America the Beautiful report with his 30 by 30 plan. Now, he just wants to protect at least 30% of our lands and waters by 2030. He's just going to protect it. The report says this plan is urgent because of the disappearance of nature, climate change, and inequitable access to the outdoors. What? In January, President Biden signed an executive order titled Tackling the Climate Crisis at Home and Abroad. His directive says the federal government must protect America's natural treasures, increase reforestation, improve access to recreation, and increase resilience to wildfires and storms while creating well-paying union jobs for more Americans, including more opportunities for women and people of color in occupations where they are underrepresented. In other words, this is the New Deal on steroids. White House National Climate Advisor Gina McCarthy says the plan really reflects the urgency in which we have to respond to a global extinction crisis. Currently, 12% of U.S. land and 11% of freshwater areas are federally protected. To get to 30%, just means the government has to have an additional 440 million acres. Don't worry, that's only the size of Texas twice. And they have to do that all in the next 10 years. No big deal. No big deal. Protecting 30% of U.S. land doesn't include the additional land that will be needed for our renewable energy plans. You know, all the solar panels and wind farms. A recent Princeton University study estimates that by 2050, wind and solar projects will occupy 230,000 square miles. Gee, that's an area, I think, well, we know smaller than Texas, or at least two Texas, about Colorado and Arizona combined. Where are we going to live? Don't worry, we're all going to be shoved into the cities. For record, there is no constitutional authority for the president or any government agency to set aside and permanently protect 30% of all land and water in the U.S. This is just the Biden administration insisting it's a necessary move to keep us from extinction. The Center for American Progress came up with the 30 by 30 program. Really? Biden wasn't up in the middle of the night working on that, huh? In the 2019 report, how much nature should America keep? The Center for American Progress was created and funded by George Soros. They're the group that also created Media Matters. Its board of directors includes Chairman John Podesta, Julian Castro, and Stacey Abrams. CAP's most recent president was Neera Tanden, who just last week was appointed as a senior advisor to the White House. Shortly after after CAP released its report, the U.S. House and Senate resolutions were introduced, calling for a 30 by 30 program to be implemented. What? Coincidence. Kamala Harris was one of the co-sponsors of the Senate resolution. The House version was co-sponsored by Representative Deb Haaland, who is now the Secretary of the Interior. 30 by 30 is the goal, at least for now. But the CAP report actually endorses the long-term goal of 50% of the land and water by 2050. Man, we're not going to own anything, and you will like it. The 30 by 30 plan dovetails nicely with a massive fund that is already put in place to acquire private land. The Land and Water Conservation Fund. It was created by Congress in 1964 and mostly funded by federal oil and gas drilling royalties. Oh, wow, it's almost like we did it to ourselves. Its main activity over the past 50 years has been buying up private land and placing it under government control. Anyone who is from the West know that's the worst thing you can do. They are horrible stewards of the land. In 2019, Democrats on the House Natural Resource Committee voted to mandate permanent funding of $900 million per year for the Land and Water Conservation Fund, basically giving the fund a perpetual treasure chest to buy up even more private land for the government. During the Trump administration, the former Secretary of Interior, David Bernhardt, issued an order allowing state and local governments to veto any land acquisition project by the Land and Water Conservation Fund. But in February, the Biden administration revoked that order. So the federal land acquisitions through the fund can now proceed without any local interference because those people out there, they don't get it. Again, this is overriding federal authority. It's not being done through Congress. In true progressive fashion, it's simply another executive decision by the administrative state against individual liberty. What? The left now has a plan. Funding, they have barriers that have been removed to carry out the biggest federal land grab in U.S. history. From waiving a company's rights to protect its intellectual property, to taking over land in the name of climate change, to be able to own people's houses because I was just trying to help you. Now I own the house and maybe you could just pay us rent. Progressivism started over a century ago. The New Deal escalated it. The Great Society extended it. And now Biden's socialism disguised as infrastructure seeks to make it permanent. The pandemic provided the left with a magic window of opportunity to transform America, and they will not waste any time. Stay with me, because in a minute I'm going to talk to a guy who's in Congress who has several patents. Talk to him about the threat of American property rights and where this is headed. Thomas Massey joins me next. I used to live in Kentucky, and it is a great, great state with a lot of great things to rave about. Not the least of those would be Thomas Massey, the congressman from Kentucky. Unlike most people in Congress, he actually has experience with intellectual property rights. He went to MIT. He started a tech company. He created 70 jobs. I think held 29 patents. Until he sold that company, he now braves the swamp in D.C. trying to defend old-fashioned things like the constitutional rights. Thomas, how are you, sir?
I'm doing well, Glenn. I'm coming to you from Fort Pelosi here.
All right. I want to just talk about, so break it down so people really understand. Intellectual property rights. Why is this so bad? They just want the COVID vaccine to help people.
Well, first of all, this would be a giant sucking sound for all the intellectual property out of the United States. It's not just the vaccine. They want any technology that could be related to curing COVID. imagine you're sitting on the board of directors at a medical endoscope company or an MRI company or a CAT scan company, wondering if you should use your technology to help save American lives, but realizing that if you do, now it gets branded as COVID intellectual property, and Joe Biden's going to give it to China. So you would be hesitant to even use your products, because we see how they define infrastructure now, right? Reparations are infrastructure. Wait until they start defining IP, intellectual property, which by that we mean patents and trademarks and copyrights and trade secrets associated with COVID. They would start circling as much of this as they could.
I've signed every contract I have signed with a company has intellectual property rights attached to it. That the company, if I create something, the company owns it. Or even I'm working for the company, they own it. And that's a really important thing, to be able to own the thing that you have worked on. It's a founding principle. And
think
when you said this,
happens.
Go ahead.
Think about what happens when you can't get a deed to a piece of property. Okay. If it's a field, it lies fallow. If it's a city, it becomes a slum, because nobody's going to improve that property. Nobody will put a building on it, a house on it, or even a garden on it if they know that somebody else can come along and take what you've put there. So it's important that we have intellectual property. You know, Obama said you didn't build that, so you don't own that. But our founding fathers in the Constitution, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 8, said that inventors and authors would have exclusive use of their ideas and discoveries for a limited period of time, and that Congress would grant that. They knew if you gave the inventors and the writers, the creators, in your case, of content, the ability to own what they created, then there would be not just an incentive to create more, but an incentive for investors to develop that property.
Correct.
So that everybody could enjoy it.
And what happens when the investors dry up?
Oh, well, China has no problem with us destroying our own intellectual property system. The only thing they might complain about is they'd have less good ideas to steal. But, you know, like with the mRNA technology, which, by the way, I believe everybody should have their own choice in whether to take this vaccine or not. But the technology that underlies it is American technology that was developed to cure cancer. This was the mRNA was not developed for vaccines. It was, you know, initially used as an idea of curing other diseases. Well, if you give that underlying base technology to China, not only will you disincentivize somebody coming up with a cure or a treatment or a vaccine for the next epidemic, you're going to disincentivize any treatment or discovery of using mRNA for, say, solving cancer. I mean, this is a big deal.
I have to tell you, they're not this stupid. They just can't be this stupid. This is, I think, to bring our medical system down to the level of the rest of the world, to redistribute the wealth. I mean, these big pharmaceutical companies have all this money. You know, why don't we give it to India? Or why don't we give it to other countries so they can make some money on it? I mean, it just, you couldn't plan to dismantle this country and our systems better than they have.
Even the socialists in Europe are having second thoughts about this all chummy with the IP thing. Because if you remember when COVID hit, there were certain shortages. People were worried where they could even get antibiotics. And we found out a lot of our most basic drugs are manufactured in China. Mm-hmm. And we can't even make them here anymore. What Joe Biden would do if he gives away the intellectual property for this and then compels the companies not just to give away the patents, but to basically teach people how to reverse engineer their processes and their trade secrets, he's going to cause all of the drug manufacturing, what's left. And by the way, the vaccine, whether you like it or not, it's made here in the United States. It's made in Kansas and Michigan. That's all going to go overseas if Joe Biden sends the know-how overseas.
And so will all the ideas from the rest of the world. A lot of these ideas are done here because we have such strong property rights, or at least have. We've got about a minute and a half, and I have so much to talk to you about. Yeah. Let's just go over the CDC and what the CDC has done to property rights. Go ahead.
The eviction moratorium. By the way, they're telling renters, you don't have to pay your rent. But if you're a property owner, try not paying your property taxes this year or last year and see what happens. I mean, they will take your property away and sell it at an auction. So they're telling renters that they don't have to pay rent. But when they do that, though, Glenn, as you well know, they're taking property from private property holders. And in a lot of cases, these may be senior citizens who had a big house. They downsized. They bought a condo and they're renting out their big house for their retirement income. They're still expected to pay taxes on that to the government. They're still expected to keep the property up. Yet the renters who are renting it don't have to pay them. This is a taking of private property by the federal government, and they're not stupid. They know what they're doing. It would be, it's unconstitutional for one thing, because the CDC did it. It wasn't even a law, but it's extra unconstitutional because the Congress didn't even vote on it.
Right, and it's clearly spelled out in the Constitution. This is not one of those things that are like, I don't know. Property rights, especially intellectual rights, are clearly spelled out in the Constitution. Congressman, thank you so much. We'll talk again.
Thanks, Glenn, for having me on.
I know it seems like you're under attack from all angles, and you really are, but our rights are. Our children's future is under attack. And please do your homework on the 30 by 30 project and the bills that are going through Congress right now, and intellectual property, and tell a friend.